Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 170 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Today, I am welcoming back a very special guest, Karen Martell. She's a certified hormone specialist and transformational nutrition coach and women's weight loss expert. She's also the host of the top-rated women's health podcast, The Other Side of Weight Loss, where she helps women to unlock the mysteries of female fat loss and hormone imbalance. After struggling with her own health issues, Karen was determined to bring her knowledge to others with a bold new approach to women's hormone health and weight management. Karen's passion lies in helping women balance and optimize their hormones in peri and postmenopause and break through weight loss resistance. So welcome back, Karen. So excited for this follow-up part two.
Me too. Thanks for having me back. It's very exciting.
So I, if anyone did not listen to the first episode, it was early November, episode 159, I would say stop now and go back and listen to part one. I will have the link here in the show notes because it will really be a foundation for what we kind of build on today. And in episode one, just a little recap, Karen did share her own story of health and kind of what led her to her passion today and of helping other women navigate these hormone imbalances. And we were going to just do a little recap too about how hormones can drive sugar addiction and how this change in hormones. And this is the part that was so fascinating to me as a 43-year-old and experiencing my 5-year sugarversary. So feeling pretty solid, but then all of a sudden about age 42, I was like, what is going on? I'm having all these triggers again. I'm craving things like stuff that I hadn't had in years. So I know we talked about that in last episode, Karen, but let's just start there with, you know, why is that?
Yes, because everything goes to hell in a handbasket when you turn 40 with your hormones. It's crazy. It's really crazy how much of a shift there is in our early 40s. And you think you're ticking along, doing just fine. And then suddenly you're like, whoa, suddenly I'm craving all this sugar and I've put on 5 pounds without changing anything. And, you know, I'm tired or I feel frazzled or whatever the symptoms might be. But it just, it feels like it happens overnight. And there's so much.
It does. Overnight. Yeah. Like, that was with me too, with the weight stuff. Like, you know, as my friend put it so eloquently, like, it's like my body's rearranging itself without my permission. And I don't weigh myself, so I have no idea, but I know that I did just by the way clothes were fitting and just with different, like my body, rearranged itself. And that really felt like overnight. So
Yes. And what's interesting is I find so many women, I would say, like 80, 90% of women think that they're going to not go through it or they haven't been warned about it. But even it's funny, even if they've been warned and somebody says like their friend or a sister or a mother or somebody says, ooh, hold on, because wait till you start going through your 40s, what's going to happen? Even if they're told that, they still have in their head, myself included, that they're going to be exempt from it, especially if they're healthy. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many women have said like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go through this naturally. You know, I'm super healthy. I eat really well. I exercise. Like, I think I'm going to be fine. And I thought that I was like, oh, I'm doing so great. I've really got my hormones straightened out. I found my weight loss code. I'm good to go. And I really didn't think it was going to happen. And I thought if it did, it would be well down the road into my very late 40s, early 50s.
That's the other thing I just want to pause and point out, because this is what was a shock to me, is how early this actually starts. So when I thought about it, I knew it was going to, but I was thinking in my 50s, like you think about menopause, you know, that, so that's defined as 1 year without having a period. And then that's, you're considered, you know, to be through menopause, but that's not, it's the whole 10 years or whatever, how long it can be for people. It's different. It varies for everyone, of the perimenopause that really is like where we're struggling, you know? So I wasn't prepared for how early it hit, like it was going to hit. So that's what was a shock for me.
Yeah. And it's funny because in my business for the last couple of years, I've actually refrained a lot from using the words perimenopause and menopause because so many women don't connect with those words unless they are actually in menopause. A woman in her late 30s having suddenly symptoms of heavy periods and weight gain or anything, she doesn't go, oh, am I in perimenopause? No. She's like, what the heck's happening? Is it my, they'll say, maybe it's my hormones for sure. They'll say hormones. And that's the word I typically use, is just hormone imbalance, because women don't think at 38 that they're in perimenopause. And ladies, I'll tell you right now, you are in perimenopause at 38. It's starting earlier and earlier now with every generation of women. And this is because of the toxic load and the stress that we have on ourselves. It's just earlier and earlier. So it's very typical for 35 and up for women to start noticing things are changing in their body, whether that be a little bit of weight gain, the PMS gets a little bit worse, longer, heavier periods, maybe some insomnia, skin issues, like suddenly they just start to age quite quickly, where it's like overnight, you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening to my skin? Why am I having like crepe paper skin suddenly?
Oh my gosh, dry hair loss. The crepe paper skin, I have it on my neck. I know we're not videoing this one, but... And on my arms, I'm like, what is this? And again, exactly overnight, I just felt like I looked a lot older overnight. But back to that perimenopause term, I just am so glad that you're pointing that out, because honestly, this is a big disservice, I think, in it our, you know, I know you're in Canada, in the United States, but I just feel like for, in the healthcare system, like the, just like sugar addiction isn't, you know, a medically defined term. Either is like perimenopause just doesn't come up in conversations, I don't think, with your doctor and stuff. It's menopause we hear about, but I was clueless about this. So I really feel, and this is why I'm so glad to have you on for a deeper dive, because I just think there's so many women that could be feeling so much better if they just understood what was going on hormonally inside their bodies at this time, and that it can start, like you said, earlier and earlier. You know, I know women that are in their early 30s that are already experiencing
100%.
So
yeah, I had to take progesterone in my early 30s because my progesterone was dropping so quickly. And that's one of the first things to go, is progesterone drops. We need progesterone to make some of our cortisol, which is your stress hormone. We need it to help us become insulin sensitive. We also need it to reduce anxiety and to sleep better. And it raises your metabolism. And the reason why we stop producing it so much is the older we get, the less we ovulate. And women know this kind of, they kind of, you know, they know that they come into this world with a certain amount of eggs. We only, you know, we stop. That's why it's hard to get pregnant the older you get, because you're just not ovulating as much. But when you don't ovulate, you don't produce all the progesterone. You will produce a little bit out of other areas like your adrenal glands and spinal cord, but in pretty small amounts. So the main source of that progesterone starts to go down. So now you get this unopposed estrogen, which is, if there's too much estrogen in comparison to your progesterone, then you can get inflamed, you can get weight gain, water retention, sore breasts, heavy periods, you don't feel very good when there's too much estrogen and not enough progesterone. That's the whole estrogen dominance thing. Very,
and
very
I didn't
common
realize,
in women.
I think we touched on this a little bit last time too, but that you're producing progesterone during ovulation. Like I had no idea. So I'm someone that was on the pill for like 12 years or something and didn't realize the benefits that I was losing of just not allowing myself, because when you're on the pill, you are not ovulating. So I was blocking. I just like hate
Your
that,
natural
thinking about that
production.
now, because it was pretty, I think I got on about like 16 because of really bad cramps, I don't have the pill, and didn't get off until I was like 28. And I just think, man, those were some really powerful years that I was suppressing this, progesterone that is so important, like you're saying. So
Yeah.
again,
And
people listen.
we need to see our period and the health of our period as a sign of our health, right? So if you're getting heavy periods and PMS, which is so common in your late 30s, early 40s, you go to your doctor, you will be put on birth control pills. Like that is their answer. Here's your birth control pills. Here's your antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication. That is not getting to the root of the problem. You're just putting a band-aid over it and turning the blind eye. Everything is still going on the inside. So don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by, well, we'll just put you on birth control pill and everything's going to be okay. And here's your Mirena IUD and don't worry, it's fine. It's not fine. It's a chemical that increases your risk of breast cancer. It increases your risk of heart attack and stroke. It stops your own production of hormones, and your hormones are your life. We need our hormones. That's what keeps us young and vital and healthy. We want them. And talking about just which one, what starts to happen with the sugar part of things, it's massive. I can't tell you how many women tell me at that age that they start craving sugar like crazy. And because there's so many hormonal things happening that will increase your need for sugar and carbohydrates. And if you don't get to the root of that, and we're going to talk about that today, we're going to give you some solutions as to what you can do when you're in your 30s, 20s, and 30s compared to what you would do in your 40s, 50s, and beyond. Because it's two different things, but you need to address the hormones, right? Because hormones could be a major driving factor. Women, they beat themselves up for having the sugar addiction. A lot of the time, they think it's emotional. A lot of the time, it is for sure, especially if it's something you've suffered with your whole life. But if it's something that has come up and it's not something that you've suffered with before, or at least not very much, that's a sign that it could be something hormonally off. And number one to look at is your cortisol level, stress. When we start aging and we lose that nice buffering progesterone, cortisol tends to go up and we become more stressed and not so resilient to the stress anymore. And when you think about it, this makes sense. Like, really think about how you could handle your stress when you were in your 20s to how you are now at 43, Siobhan. It's a big difference. Big
And just thinking of
difference. Yeah.
all, like, as far as symptoms, like so many friends that I talk to are like, what the heck? I'm so much more anxious now. I don't handle stresses. Like
Yes.
we all feel that. And it's like, what has happened?
Yes. And
The
when you feel
cortisol.
that way and you're not sleeping and you've got this severe PMS, do we want to eat healthy? Do we want to sit down and eat the broccoli and a nice, chicken breast or whatever? Just healthy. Nice big salad. No, you don't soothe yourself with healthy food. You soothe yourself with sugar. And so if you're having all of these things, these feelings coming up, and you're like, why am I craving so much sugar? I was never like this before. You have to go, okay, number one, what's my cortisol levels doing? Am I stressed out? You don't even have to test. You can just ask yourself, do I feel like I can't handle my stress like I used to? Am I, stewing in my thoughts constantly, like got the hamster wheel turning, not being able to fall asleep properly, or waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the brain going bing, and you can't stop thinking about stuff where, little things will happen with your family life or with your work. And normally it would not bother you at all and you wouldn't even think about it. But suddenly all these little things are like great, these little molehills are becoming great big mountains where you're just, you can't handle it and you're stewing about it and you're stressed out and little things happen and you feel like you can't tolerate it. Right there and then, that could be driving sugar addiction. Mm-hmm. Just stress. I can't tell you how much stress drives the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause to make them way, way, way worse.
And what's so hard here, I think, especially in this age of like later 30s, early 40s, for a lot of women, I'm not going to say everybody, but let's say for a lot of women, they have kids. And a lot of times it's young kids and they're really building their careers too. And you also might have some aging parents that you're caring for or worried about. So it's like the most stressful time, I think, for a lot of women. So it is 100%. Really hard, like when you're like, are you stressed? And it's like, yeah, Karen, I am stressed right now. What do I do about it? You know, like it is a very stressful time, I think, in especially for women, just that kind of demographic of that age. It's just, it's a lot going on. So,
You know, we wait longer and longer now to have children. I mean, I had my son at 38 and my daughter at 31. That was a huge difference in how I recovered from pregnancy and those late nights of not sleeping for years on end and, you know, raising the children where it's super hands-on. When we're in our early 40s, that's actually, it should be the time that we are spending on ourselves and and caretaking ourselves and going, okay, what do I want with life? And I need to, you know, take care of my self-care and et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of women can't. They've got little children that they're taking care of. And this is hormonally not really supposed to be having. We should be having our kids ideally when we're like late teens and early 20s. That's when we're hormonally built for it.
Right.
But we're not mentally anymore built for it at that early age. And women all think now that, oh, I'm going to wait till I'm late. So many, I can't tell you how many women I know that are in their late or mid 30s that still haven't had children, but they're still planning to. And I'm like, get on it, because hormonally, this is not going to work out for you very well. You're going to see more postpartum depression because that's the lack of progesterone and harder to get pregnant and then harder to tolerate the late nights. And because your stress resiliency isn't there like it used to be. And so all of these things start to contribute to. All of these hormonal imbalances, that's what it's going to contribute to, all of it. So it's not only the stress. So yes, you're stressed out. You've got more anxiety because you're losing these hormones, but what's happening on inside the body also will then drive the sugar addiction. So it's not only that you're feeling unwell, you've got anxiety, maybe you're not sleeping. All of these things will make you crave carbohydrates because they're soothing and it makes you feel momentarily better.
But, yeah, this like kind of hits all of my triggers for my own recovery. 100%. Like if I don't get enough sleep, if I'm not using my stress management toolkit, which is pretty like thorough at this point. So yeah, that stress, not getting enough sleep, not feeling our best, not feeling energized. Like when you're tired, you're going to go for some kind of quick pick me up. So yeah, all of that plays into it. But I think it's really interesting to point out, because I hear this from a lot of friends too. I'm definitely a sugar addict through and through from early childhood. So, you know, it's something that I've dealt with. But I hear a lot of women that say, I never even liked sweets. And suddenly I'm like craving them. So it's interesting to see that it can affect you either way, even if you're into, you know, because I was eating really healthy and clean, but this, so it kind of snuck up on me a little bit. So I think it's really good to just talk about that, not just people that are addicted. I think it's really interesting how it affects all women. And it totally makes sense when you look at all those factors.
Yeah. And so when the cortisol is elevated, whenever we produce cortisol, which is your fight or flight hormone. So it's a survival hormone. We wouldn't be here today without it. And you would die without it. when cortisol goes up, so the adrenal glands pump out this hormone, the hormone goes up with any stressor, even if it's mild, constant stress. Every time cortisol goes up, blood sugar has to go up with it, because you're telling your body you either need to fight or you need to run. And so the body gives you quick sugar. Up, oh my gosh, give this person some very quick energy so they can run or they can fight. Boom, blood sugar goes up. And then it can come crashing back down and then go back up and crash back down. That whole thing is going to make you crave sugar that much more.
Okay. So if people are listening now and they're like, yes, Karen, I have all of these things, check, 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 check. How do we help? You know, we said we're going to talk about solutions today. So can we get into some of the solutions for people and how they differ depending on where your age?
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're in your 20s and 30s, things are a little bit different than when you're in your 40s and 50s, right? So if you're a cycling woman and you're in your 20s and 30s, there's a lot that you can do that don't contain hormones, like replacing the hormones. And you really don't want to if you don't have to, because once again, it will, can, not so much the progesterone, but a lot of the other ones, it'll stop the production of your own hormones. They can come back, but it's still better when we're in our early years to get to the root of the problem and try to balance the hormones without using actual hormones. So no birth control, no bioidentical hormones. Instead, look at your hormones. If you're, you know, if you're in your 30s, I would recommend having them tested. If you're in your 20s, you can certainly have them tested. It won't show too much. It's more on, I always go by symptoms when women are in their 20s and early 30s, because they could still have plenty of all the hormones, but the imbalance is not right for that person. So if they, let's say their bodies really thrive on testosterone and it drops a little bit, it'll look fine in the blood labs, but that person is getting the symptoms of low testosterone. So it's better to go by, okay, well, how are you feeling? And then let's see what we can do to correct that. And when you're in your fertile years, you really want to focus, number one, on food. And you have to still, when you're in your later years, of course, like it's even more important actually in your later years, because you're going to be so much more sensitive to your glucose. But correcting the food stuff, it has to be the base of everything. We can't get around it. You can't supplement your way out of hormonal imbalance. You really, truly have to start with food. And there's certain foods that are going to make the hormonal imbalance worse. And there's certain foods that are going to make it better. And we all know it's going to be healthy whole foods, right? This is no big news. This is nothing new that people haven't heard before. But I find that low inflammatory primal based diets seem to work the best. This is because I think you're getting enough protein in typically, you're taking out the inflammatory foods. So this, when I say primal, this is some version of like paleo. Some people have to go, you know, autoimmune for a while, autoimmune paleo. Some people, if they're really sick, need to go, you know, even farther with ketogenic or carnivore-based diets. These are all primal-based diets. So depending on where your health status is at, if you've got an autoimmune condition, will kind of tell you whether or not, which one of those that you should be trying to do. So I always have women start with a bit of a reboot, a 30-day reboot. And I tell them not to think past the 30 days. I just want them to go, okay, I'm going to commit to this way of eating for 30 days, and then I will reassess. And so 30 days, you go grain-free, legume-free. You eat things like meat, vegetables, fruit, nuts and seeds, potatoes, sweet potato, and eggs, and a little bit of dairy if they tolerate it, like whole dairy, no milk. So a little bit of cheese if needed, or heavy cream. see how that feels for 30 days. And you would be shocked at just how much that will do for your hormones, because you're lowering inflammation. And people will tend to lose weight, their hormones start to balance out, so their PMS gets better, they start sleeping better, and their blood sugar stabilizes. So suddenly those cravings start to disappear. It's definitely challenging in the beginning because you're depriving yourself of all of those carbohydrates that you were eating, which is just sugar in your body. But very quickly, your blood sugar starts to level out. I used to be the person that had to carry a granola bar in my purse 24/7, because God forbid I went more than 2 hours without eating, because my blood sugar would crash all the time. Mm-hmm. So I had very like unstable hypoglycemic, even though I was eating, I relatively healthy. I was eating whole grain and, you know, like whole wheat toast, whole wheat pasta, all of these things. And it was just destroying my sugar, my blood sugar levels. And so switching to a paleo-based diet was the best thing I could have done, because now suddenly my blood sugar stabilized. I wasn't riding the blood sugar roller coaster all day, because I wasn't starting my day with a bowl of healthy oatmeal or a piece of brown toast. Instead, I was starting my day with eggs or breakfast sausage patties that I would make. I just had that for breakfast today. And I could go for hours. I could go 4 or 5 hours without eating suddenly. And all of my sugar cravings went right down. And I see this over and over and over again with women. And when they first start, they think, oh my gosh, I can't imagine giving up grains. And I will tell you, you can get to the point where 80% of the time you're grain-free and legume-free.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% of the time you can throw some of that in here and there, like a little rice here, a little whatever, piece of toast, whatever. And it will be easy and it will become a lifestyle. There's no restriction. I never calorie counted. I never felt like I was being restrictive, because I liked eating that way and I liked the way it made me feel. And I could eat till I was satiated and then I would stop. So that is where every person needs to start. And for the vegans out there, it's way harder. I have to say it's way harder. I always try to, honor where everybody is in their diet. It's going to be harder, but try your best to lower the carbohydrate count. Because if you are spiking your blood sugar all day long, up and down with grains and with beans, you're going to find it very challenging to stop eating sugar. I really believe that. Past that.
Yes, we've got the food, which is super important. We've got the food. No matter the age, too. That's what you're saying. Doesn't matter your age, food is important. So then what's next?
Yeah. Stress.
Mm.
So we talked about this earlier. It doesn't matter. Cortisol goes up, sugar goes up. So if you are constantly stressed out, running around, doing what every other North American woman's doing these days, which is, holding down a job 5 days a week, raising kids, maybe you've got a partner, you're still maintaining the home, you're cooking and cleaning, manning children, maybe you've got toddlers. Something's got to give, because you are going to want to be eating nothing but sugar if that's your life. So stress reduction comes with both, again, at any age. These two are foundational. Next, of course, is sleep. We know that if you get a poor night's sleep, insulin immediately goes up, which then, once again, riding the blood sugar train all day long. So quality sleep, and everybody knows this. So this is, once again, this is not news to any of you, but sometimes
no
we
breaking
have
news
to,
today.
And this is the thing though, is how many people do you know, Siobhan, that don't have the foundational pieces down, that they're still looking for a quick fix or a supplement or a new fad diet or new fad exercise program to solve all of their sugar addiction or their weight gain?
Definitely. And these are also interlinked too, right? So I have found 100%. Like the worst I eat, my stress is higher, and then my worst I sleep. Like as you start tackling all these areas, I feel like, good nutrition and that will help reduce stress, which helps you sleep better. Like they all work together really well.
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then if you can honestly say, Karen, I have all of this down. If you don't have it down, then you go through one by one and you tackle them until you do have them down. And don't go past that until you do, because it's just, you're beating a dead horse. If you are, like, you're just going to be going around in circles and chasing it the rest of your life. And you don't want that. So get those foundational pieces down. Obviously, the emotional piece has to be taken care of when it comes to sugar addiction, but that's not what we're talking about here today. Past that, then you want to look at, what is your cycle doing? Are you having heavy periods and PMS? There's amazing supplements that can really help to balance those hormones out. One of my favorites is Vitex. Vitex is a herb otherwise known as chasteberry, and it helps your body's production of progesterone, and it really does work. I've seen women's progesterone go way up when they start taking that supplement. So taking something like that, that also has maybe some calcium D-glucuronate and D-indolmethane, these are herbals that will help your body to bind and detox the estrogen. Because a lot of the time, like we said before, it's the progesterone starts to drop and then you get too much estrogen in comparison to that progesterone. So you just give your body that helping hand and, hey, let's bump up this progesterone and let's help the body to get rid of this used estrogen. Because if you don't, your body starts to recirculate it and then you get even more estrogen dominant. So making sure that you're taking some good supportive supplements. A good support supplement for stress is always key. I found that taking things like ashwagandha really reduced my sugar cravings. Just that one herb, ashwagandha, because it's so supportive of the adrenal system.
And so, I want to do a quick plug for, and I talk about this, I love this supplement that I use called Joy Filled. Happy Ooh. Healthy Hippie makes it. I've talked about it a lot before, but it has ashwagandha in it. It also has like St. John's wort and other like really stress relieving herbs and stuff. And it's one that I've tried to take out. You know, sometimes I'm like, is this even helping? And then I take it out. And like within 2 weeks, I was like, oh yeah, it definitely is making such a difference. So sometimes there's really good blends out there too. I have found that for me anyway, and again, this is going to be different. Got to do a little experimentation for you of what works. But for me, that combination works really, really well. And that company also has a straight up ashwagandha, which did not work as well for me on its own. I needed like the combination. So there's so many options out there, which I love. But like you said, you can't supplement yourself out of, it has to be with the other things too, the food and stress reduction and sleep, and then add in these supplements. Yeah. For maximum benefit.
Yeah.
If the other stuff is crap, the supplements aren't going to do enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Another really big thing that all women should be doing is cleaning up their household, cleaning up their environment. We have so many fake estrogens in our environment. There's no way we can actually avoid them. So you really need to clean up your environment. We live in a world that is brutal when it comes to the chemicals and the perfumes that are added to every single product that we're using on our face, our skin, our hair, our cleaning products in our house, what your furniture is sprayed with, carpets. These are all affecting the hormones big time, big time. Mm-hmm. Like you have got to, anything that's got an artificial scent to it, or that's a chemical, should be out of your house, truly. I mean,
I also think about, you know, we're seeing women earlier with these perimenopause symptoms. Exactly. We're also seeing girls earlier and earlier going through puberty. And I think that is all tied into this toxic load that's in our environment and our households and all the products that we're using, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And the food we eat that's sprayed and the hormones that are injected into the meat, the air quality, it's never ending and it can sound very overwhelming, But start small, and it doesn't have to cost a lot. I think a lot of people think if you go down that road, it's going to cost you so much money. But heck, vinegar and water is a great cleaning solution.
I was just going to say that. That's what I use for cleaning now.
Right?
Very cheap. And start small. Yeah. I have some earlier episodes where I really go into toxins. And that was the thing for me. I was completely overwhelmed. And then I was just like, it's never going to be perfect. You got to do the best you can and start small. So as I ran out of products, I would just try to replace it with a better product. And there are, like you said, really cheap alternatives out there, but really just starting to pay attention. Just like I was shocked when I started reading labels to look at the ingredients of how many items contain sugar. When you really start reading the labels of how many things include like fragrance. And I've talked about this in detail on the podcast too, that fragrance covers, like, it can have all kinds of chemicals and stuff in it. Like, they don't have to list out each what's in a fragrance because it's considered like a trade secret for, like, you know, so anytime that it lists fragrance, that's an alert for me. Like, because I have no idea what is actually in there. So that's something to be really careful and aware of, and using more like essential oils and that kind of stuff instead.
You just that Febreze, the things that you plug into the wall that have the artificial smell in them.
So
that,
bad.
Your clothing, your detergent on your clothes and your downy dryer sheets, these, anything that has a synthetic smell to it, that's how you know that it needs to go.
Yeah,
it can't be around, because that is adding to the toxic load inside your body and imbalancing your hormones. And you just don't want that. It's not worth it. And once you start switching everything over, you will find that you can no longer tolerate synthetic smells.
So
that
true.
Happens quite quickly.
I'm so, you so think, much
oh,
more
but
sensitive.
I love the smell of my vanilla orchid, you know, whatever, Febreze. Well, wait till you go without it and then try and smell it again. It sends off alarm bells inside your system. It's crazy.
Yes.
Even my husband, like, when we got together, I was like, you got to get rid of these downy sheets. I can't handle the smell. And he was like, what? I double up on them. You know? And now he's like, I can't even stand if somebody gets in my car that has that smell to them. I'm like, yeah, me neither. So clear it out. Alcohol. As we get older, alcohol, we tolerate less and less. It puts a burden on your liver, and so that your liver cannot process your hormones the way it should. So alcohol, I know that it's like Karen's just no fun. We're, you know, no Febreze, no alcohol, no grain. But trust me, ladies, you will be thankful if you do give it a try. You'll feel
it's
a lot
better.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's worth it. It's worth it. Your health is worth it. As you start to age, then you start losing the hormones because you are aging. And at this point, 100%, all of what we just talked about has to be part of it. And it's going to make you feel so much better as you go through perimenopause. But there comes a point where you cannot supplement or diet your way out of hormonal loss. And it doesn't matter. Some women, like I said before, you could have all of this in place. You could be super healthy. You don't drink. Like, that was me. I hadn't drank it in 10 years. I was super healthy. I had no more sugar addiction. I felt amazing. And I still started to go through hell when I lost my hormones. So at that point in the game, I had to look to replacing those hormones because nothing was going to bring them back. And this I want to get through every woman's head that is in her 40s. This can happen earlier. Some women go through early menopause in their 30s. It can even happen in your 20s. But general public, you're looking at, you know, mid to late 40s where you really start to lose the hormones. And so progesterone tends to go first, will drop about 75%. And then estrogen follows in our late 40s. When estrogen starts to go, now our blood sugar really gets messed up. Estrogen is absolutely phenomenal for insulin sensitivity. We need it for processing our glucose. So estrogen starts to go, it can make you more depressed. You have lower levels of serotonin, What do we want to do when that happens? We want to eat sugar, and you become more insulin resistant, and eventually you'll develop insulin resistance and possibly type 2 diabetes if you don't replace the estrogen. So there's a lot of misinformation out there online about hormone replacement therapy. But I will tell you, I won't get into all the stats, but I have.
We did talk about that a lot in the previous episode. Okay. So I want people to make sure, if you haven't listened, really go back, because Karen talks a lot in detail about some studies done and the difference between bioidentical versus, like, if you're getting you know, synthetic hormones. So we really went through that, and just the state, you know, what the studies are showing safety wise and stuff. So just encouraging people that this is a really good option, but it needs to be the bioidentical, not the synthetic, you know, that's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had a woman yesterday who's 51, and her doctor put her on birth control pills because she had osteoporosis. And that is like the absolute worst thing you could give a woman that's in her early 50s. That's going to increase your risk of heart attack and stroke. That's going to increase your risk of breast cancer far more than bioidentical hormones would. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that women feel that birth control is safe, and they feel that actual hormones aren't. Birth control pills aren't actual hormones. These are synthetic chemicals that mimic hormones and act like very strong, kind of dominant type hormones in the body. That's how they act.
So what is the difference then with the bioidentical? Maybe that's just something, as we're kind of wrapping up here, just to really get it through people listening, like the difference. Because isn't it true that, like, the estrogen from birth control is made, like, from horse's urine or something? Is that?
No, not that one. The estrogen is a fake estrogen, and it's chemically derived. So it doesn't look like your own estrogen when you look at how the chemical makeup is. It's different than ours. Mm-hmm. And then they use progestin, which is another, it's a chemical progesterone that is also very toxic. Mm-hmm. The old hormone replacement therapy, which is still around today, but not often used, the estrogen came from pregnant horses' urine, and that was called Premarin. What's interesting, though, is you are still better off taking Premarin than not having any estrogen at all as you age. All the research shows that. Yeah. Even though taking oral estrogen, which is how that was delivered, does increase your risk of heart attack and stroke. But in the research, it showed that it actually still decreased your risk of breast cancer and still really helped with, you know, reverse, like, not getting osteoporosis, and helped with many different things. But we are not horses. So our own estrogen, once again, does not look like horse's estrogen. And way stronger than our own. So now we have the option of bioidentical hormone therapy, which is the exact makeup, chemical makeup, as our own. So there's no difference between your estrogen or the bioidentical estrogen cream.
And is this coming from plant sources, or where does this come from?
It's derived in it. It is made in a lab, but it is derived from soy or yam. And that goes for both progesterone and estrogen.
So that's, I just more like better. Really wanted to highlight that difference when people are making these decisions. And it's like, okay, I'll take birth control. But it's all chemicals. Like, this is something, the difference here of something, a much more natural alternative, but not just that, your body recognizes it because it's like the same code or whatever, however you want to put
that. Exactly. So. And people think, but isn't it going to cause breast cancer? Isn't it really bad for us to use hormones? And I always say, was it bad in your 20s? Yeah. Is that not when you felt your best hormonally? Is when you had lots and lots of hormones, when you had copious amounts of estrogen? We see breast cancer go way up in menopausal women when they've lost their estrogen. We don't see young women in their 20s riddled with breast cancer. So if our estrogen is causing breast cancer and a bunch of problems, is going to kill you, would we not all be dropping dead then in our teens and 20s, when we're producing a boatload of it in our body. So it doesn't really make sense when you think about it like that. And we used to die in it before we got, by the time we got to menopause, we were typically on our way out, if not dead already, right? That was our typical age range, was living till we were in our mid 40s. That was very typical age for a woman to die. Mm-hmm. Now we're living longer and longer. And it's kind of like saying to the guy with heart disease, and I may have said this last time, but if you have heart disease, are you going to take the drug that's going to help prevent that heart disease? Or are you going to say no to it? Are you going to say no to the surgery because it's just part of aging?
Yeah, right? That's a really good example. Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, all the things that happen when it comes to the hormonal loss, you know, you can develop type 2 diabetes, you can develop heart disease, you can develop dementia and Alzheimer's, all just purely, I mean, there's other factors, of course, but sometimes it can be purely from the hormonal loss that causes those diseases, which are the number one killers of women.
Oh, so glad that we did this part 2, Karen, and really kind of went into detail here about the solutions and even, you know, just the differences here in the birth control and bioidentical, yeah, and kind of busting some myths for us today. So is there anything else though, maybe that we didn't get to today that you wanted to say?
I think that's probably pretty good. It's just, you know, make sure that you address the hormones. I think that has to be a piece of your recovery from sugar addiction.
Well, Karen, thank you again so much for being here today. And how, if women are interested, because I know you work with women on one-on-one, you do have a lot of educational things online. How can people reach you if they want to kind of, you know, explore more?
Yeah, I would go to my website, KarenMartell.com. There's a great little hormone quiz to get started with as well. I've got a podcast with over 240 episodes. So there's lots and lots of information on there, yes, as well. So, and we actually have some good ones coming up on sugar. So be sure to tune in for that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.